a body of like-minded believers seeking God. And let the Spirit teach us and edify and strengthen us. And let us have faith in His Word. And let us pray for understanding, wisdom, to walk it out. We're in a time when it's got to be walked out. Knowledge is increasing. In the natural realm, we see our education systems popping at the seams with all the mighty understanding of their principles and the things that are being taught. A lot of things that lead people into great bondage, severing their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, teaching that to have a need for a higher power in your life is a weakness in you, shaming the deity and the majesty of God. And so the church is being called to seek the Lord as never before. And stop letting doctrines of men, ideas that have come through the land, but let's get back to the basics. Let's open the Word of God. Let's seek the things precious in the kingdom. And let us line up with the Word, and let us not waver, and let us assuredly not be defeated. This hour, the Lord is speaking to a people who are ready to listen. I say, Lord, dig our ears. Let our ear hear. Let our mind be sealed in truth. Let there be nothing in us, Lord, that will have to be tested in this last day. But let your word be revealed. Let's bow our heads. Father, tonight we make ourselves ready to hear the word. We ask you, Lord God Almighty, to write your word upon our heart. We ask you, Lord, to teach us the things that we need to know to overcome the powers of death and the rulers of darkness and the principalities that besiege the land. We ask you, O Lord God, to raise your kingdom, hallelujah, your name Jesus in the mouth of every believer, understood the power and the dominion and the authority that has been vested unto us as your heir of salvation. O Lord God, let the people arise and take their place in you, and let the matter be sealed unto us, O Lord, that we are your kingdom. We are priests, hallelujah, in this vital hour to bring forth a many-membered body to rule and to reign with you, Lord. And, O Lord God Almighty, let our understanding be made fruitful, Lord. And let us stand in the nakedness of truth and make a proclamation unto you that as for us and our house, we choose to serve you, Lord. We choose to look neither to the right nor to the left. We choose not to allow the desires of our flesh to take control. We choose, O Lord, for your word of truth to be written indelibly upon our heart. We ask you, O Lord God, to come, and in the understanding of your being, Lord, let your people arise, and let the captives be set free, Lord. Let the powers of darkness that have ruled the emotions of man in his soulish realm be exposed. And at last, let the cleansing word of divine order and truth be exposed unto our intellect until we stand as a mighty army when never breaking our ranks, Lord. We stand in authority and dominion because we know the truth, Lord. Oh, Lord God Almighty, let us decrease that you might increase, Lord. Let your handiwork be seen in this earth, Lord. And, oh, Lord God, let there be nothing holding us back, Lord. We choose to look at ourselves, Lord. We choose, Lord Jesus, and we consecrate our being before you that you might write your word so clearly that we would obey it to the letter. Hallelujah. Oh, my Father, my Father, my Father. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, le grossi garame hati amo. And let us understand, Lord, that we are le cron gemini hati, a people set in your kingdom to set creation free. Oh, thank you, my Father. And now, my Father, we bow before you tonight. Our ears have heard many messages. Many words have gone forth. The enemy has stood up in his anger, and he has made sounds to separate the children of God. He has told lies, and he has caused angers and deceptions to be lifted up. But tonight, Lord, we bow in your presence. We ask you, Almighty God, the Spirit of truth, to teach us, hallelujah, that we might stand before you, Lord, and judge ourselves. For we are your house, Lord, your tabernacle, and judgment begins at the house of the Lord. I thank you, my Father. And now, Lord, we would hear from you. Hallelujah. We surrender, Lord, all of our capabilities to the unction of the Holy Ghost. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may come in. Thank you, Lord Jesus, now. Hallelujah. I tell you, the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. You are not here by accident. It's divine order. Hallelujah. This house that has been set to bring the body in will also set the captives free. Now, to this point, we've had a lot of questions, haven't we? We've had a lot of feelings. There's been some pain, like the word, the sword, it separates and divides. But God's bringing a nucleus, a body, who will stand in divine authority and never waver. People that know how to pray together and stay together in this place. Hallelujah. This place, glory to God. This place, the house of God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now, here we are looking at the birth of Moses. We're going to put on our spiritual glasses tonight. You know, looking with the eyes of the Holy Ghost. And I want to share with you what the Lord is saying to me, so that we do not leave anything out, that we can tell it like it is, and we can explain where we are coming from, so that nobody walks out the door saying, well, that went over my head. I pray that we are so open to the wooing of the Holy Ghost that we are understanding what the Lord is saying. Hallelujah. Now, spiritual glasses on. Thank you, my Father. Now, Amram, a man of the house of Levi, the priestly tribe, went and took as his wife Jochebed. She was a daughter of Levi. And the woman became pregnant and bore a son. And when she saw that he was exceedingly beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. Now, we're going back a little further, and we're going to talk a little more. This was a time of slavery. The Egyptians had reduced the Israelites to severe slavery. Pharaoh, in his fear of the prophetic word that a man would be born that would set the captives free, made a decree that all of the male children, a year and under, I think was the decree, should be killed. Now, and here is this lady expecting a baby. Now, and wouldn't you know that she would bring forth a man-child? Now, so when she could hide him no longer, It says that she took for him an ark or a basket made of bulrushes and papyrus, making it watertight by dabbing it with bitumen pitch. And then she put the child in it and laid it among the rushes by the brink of the river Nile. Now, I'm going to talk to the mamas a minute. Can you imagine doing that to your baby? Can you imagine the trauma and the emotions that would go on in the midst of you? And I'm going to talk to the daddies. Could you imagine letting the fruit of your offspring, your love, be flung away from you to drift down the Nile until it was out of your sight? Can you imagine the emotions of the parenting experience that was going on here? But this was a saving situation. And this seemed to be the only way that they could make it work to save the life. They had to loose it in order and prayerfully that it might be found. Now, the emotions of mankind have been given by the Lord. We are His image. Creator God in His love for us has called forth a love and an expression of love in the humanness of humankind so that our parenting process is precious and holy, and there's a responsibility inside of you that lets a mama's eye stay half open at night that first year or two in case her baby cried, that allowed her to look with understanding at her children to see when a fever was about to break or a hurt was about to take place, and who thought nothing of standing in that place all night if necessary, wiping a fevered brow and praying. I'm talking to Mama tonight, the reality of who we really are in Christ Jesus, the female responsibility and the male responsibility now. Emotions that are going to have to be talked about in this end time. Emotions that are going to have to be looked at because we've been ravaged by the evil one. And because our household, our children have been robbed from us, and powers and principalities have sent messages to the mind of our little ones, and our household has been emptied out of the light and the glory of our love. And we see it everywhere. Hardly a home in America that hasn't been ravaged by divorce, or drugs, or alcohol. Hardly a family where there hasn't been rape and incest and all kinds of ungodly situations. Children bruised, abused, hurting, wounded. And this is the generation that's going to walk into the kingdom. And we're saying, Lord God, as responsible parents, there's got to be a turnaround in this nation. And what we have stood for, and what we know by the instincts of the Holy Ghost, the creation of the Creator, we are going to have to stand in the dominion of who we are and take authority in the name of Jesus and stop allowing our household to be ruined because the enemy has snuck in and because we didn't understand or know whatever the circumstances that brought the curse on your household of godlessness and idolatry and paganism. Out of these situations, we are reaping what we have sown. Our generation man is going to have to turn around and take a look at what it is to live and what it is to die. And so this little child was set loose on the river. And his sister Miriam stood some distance away to learn what would be done to him. And now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And her maidens walked along the bank, and she saw the ark among the rushes, and she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child. And lo, the baby cried. Well, I tell you, that really got to me. And she took pity on him, and she said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." And then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go call a nurse of the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the girl went and called the child's mother. Now, oh, it's good. Hallelujah. And so Pharaoh's daughter said to her, the mother, "Take the child away and nurse it for me, and I'll give you wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. Now we're all saying, all us mamas are saying, glory, hallelujah. We're excited about what's happened now. Hallelujah. But let's look at the emotions here. Every time that little baby got hungry, and every time it was time to nurse him, that mama knew that soon as he stopped needing her milk, he'd be out of her arms and away from her nest. Trauma, insecurity, fear, hurt, ingrained in the emotions. Now, we look at this genetic response, and we've heard a lot of what we have said in our day, old wives' tales, that the mama's got to be happy when she's nursing that baby, because that baby's taken from her, and he's been shaped and formed in this earth, and his personality is being made ready, and the feelings and the emotions that have been transmitted by the genetic response of marriage now in his environment are being shaped and allowed. And so that emotion of insecurity and fear and hurt, I know, was transmitted to Moses as she fed him, knowing that soon, as he grew healthy and strong and was able to be weaned, off he would go to Pharaoh's house. This Levitical woman, who knew what it was to have her man stand and serve God. Now, knowing that he would have to go and live in the house of the idolatry of the worship of the gods of that land. Big, big bruise in the being now. The child grew, 10th verse. And she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called him Moses, for she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." And one day after Moses was grown, it happened that he went out to his brethren, and he looked at their burden, see? And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of Moses' brethren. And he looked this way and that. See, that's where I got my clue. Insecurity. Fear of what the law of the land would do. An emotion that he was acquainted with. He looked this way and that. Insecurity. And the Egyptian, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and he hid him in the sand. Now, let's look at this well. This young man was living in Pharaoh's house. A Hebrew life was nothing to Pharaoh. And as Pharaoh's daughter's son, as he was being raised, he could have done anything and gotten away with it. But there was a nature within that it could not be allowed. A personality, a Levitical unction, something in the blood that would bruise the emotion. That in taking that life, he was judging the death realm to deliver his people. And he hid that body in the sand because the fear in him wouldn't allow him to face the responsibility of murder. And when he went out the second day, see,
And he saw two Hebrew men quarreling and fighting, and he said to the unjust aggressor, "Why are you striking your comrade?" And the man said to him, "Who made you a prince to a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" And then Moses was afraid. See, the fear that the Bakidosale Melahaya, the Lord says to look at what he is about to say and to reveal unto you. Whereas his word is revealed in the heart of his people, that we are to know that we are his property, that we have been born one new man, hallelujah, a last Adam with the unction of life, a decree to set creation free, the authority to bring it forth, and the dominion, hallelujah, glory that calls forth humankind to stand in the responsibility of truth and become the Son of the very God. Hallelujah. A people called out of death into life. Thank you, Lord. Now, here we are. Murder and fear. And when Pharaoh heard it, he sought to slay Moses. Now, but Moses fled from Pharaoh's presence, and he took refuge in the land of Midian now, where he sat down by a well. Now, Midian means strife. He sat down by a well now. God is a provider. He has a plan for every life. And this man, Moses, was to become a deliverer. This man was to set his generation free to break the bondages of the slavery that Egypt had provoked into the Hebrew nation. And he ran for his life. Didn't look like much of a deliverer to me. But God had a well at Midian. God's got a well at Midian. Hallelujah. Every time that crisis rises up in your life, there's a well for you to drink from. It's living water, hallelujah. And it will restore and bring life forever. Let's go on. Now, the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to the water their father's flock. Seven is the number of completeness or fullness now. Seven daughters. And the shepherds came out and drove them away. But Moses stood up and he helped them, and he watered their flock. And when they had come to Reuel or Jethro, their father, he said, "How is it that you have come so soon today?" He's talking to the daughters. And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the shepherds. Also, he drew water for us and watered the flock." And he said to the daughters, "When is he, and why have you left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and Jethro gave Moses his daughter Zipporah to be his wife. Now, in his crisis, driven out of Pharaoh's house, God about to shape and mold a man for the destiny of a people. A deliverer. Hallelujah. But everything about it looked totally opposite. Here we see the emotions again. She bore him a son. And Moses called his name Gershom. It means expulsion. He hadn't forgotten they'd expelled him from Egypt. And the only thing that he could bring forth was that attitude and name. As a man's name was, so was his character or his nature. And all that he could produce in that place of strife being driven was an expulsion attitude. Gershom. Expulsion. For he said, "I've been a stranger and a sojourner in a foreign land." However, after a long time, nearly 40 years, the king of Egypt died. And the Israelites were sighing and groaning because of the bondage, and they kept crying, and their cry became, because of the slavery, ascended to God. And God heard their sighing and groaning, and He earnestly remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God saw the Israelites, and He took knowledge of them and concerned Himself about knowing all, understanding, and remembering all. Whoo-wee, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank You, Father. And so Moses was keeping that flock at Jericho. Now, I've got a lot to cover tonight, so we're going to skip a little down because you all know about the mountain of Sinai and about the bush that burned. And now when Moses came and he saw it now, and God spoke to him out of the bush, and God said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. Now we're down to the fifth verse. And God said, do not come near, but put your shoes off your feet, for the place on which you stand is holy ground. And He said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters and their oppressors. For I know their sorrows and their sufferings and their trials. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand and the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good land, and a large land flowing with milk and honey, a land of plenty, and a place, the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. And now behold, the cry of Israel has come before me, and I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. Now, I'm going to give you for homework to look up every one of these names, and you'll know the crisis that the children of Israel were going to have to battle. God was giving them a promised land, and He was willing to drive their enemies out from before them, but they were going to have to decide whether they were going to serve God or whether they were going to coexist with their enemy and be contaminated by their godless idolatries and worship at their high places and allow those things to continue now. And so God is still speaking. He said, now behold, the cry of the Israelites has come to me, and I've also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, see, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Because see, what his idea and remembrance of Egypt was, that dead Egyptian buried in the sand and running for his life. But here he was, talking to the Lord of all, the Jehovah, the God of his father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here he was speaking to the I Am, where all things and all the world was stored up in the eternity of the eternities, ready to come forth into the ages of God's plan and fulfill the destiny of humankind and bring forth out of it a many-membered body, the joint heirs of Jesus Christ, to stand in the dominion, hallelujah, of God, to live in that place, hallelujah, a part of the body of Christ, and know that He has given them that place as an heir, and to take that place. But Moses didn't have that kind of understanding. And God said, surely I'll be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I've sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on the mountain of Horeb or Sinai. And Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they said to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am, and what I am, and I will be what I will be. And he said, you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent you. Now you see, if Moses had had any understanding of the I am, see, where time is no more, where God is eternal, where the plan is finished, hallelujah, where God dwells in all of the awesomeness of his magnificence and splendor. Had Moses understood that I am understanding, he probably wouldn't even have kissed the forehead goodbye. He'd have been going back to Egypt and commanded Pharaoh to let the people go. But you see, he was operating in his humanness, in the insecurity and fear, and that old power of murder that brings and reduces man down to such a fearful place that he has no self-image. He runs from everything because he knows he's broken the laws of God now. And so God continues to speak to Moses. And he said, this you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, have sent me to you. And this is my name forever. And by this name I am to be remembered to all generations. Go, gather the elders of Israel together, the mature leaders, see, the tribal leaders, and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you, and have seen which has been done to you in Egypt. And I have declared that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And the elders shall believe and obey your voice, and you shall go, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now let us go, we beseech you, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Now, and I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless forced to do so. No, not by a mighty hand. See, God didn't send him in there ignorant. So he said, I will stretch out my hand and I will smite Egypt with all the wonders which I will do in it. And after that, he'll let you go. And I will give this people favor and respect in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be that when you go, you shall not go empty-handed. And every woman shall insistently solicit to their neighbor and of her that is residing at her house jewels and articles of silver and gold and garments which you shall put on your sons and your daughters. And you shall strip the Egyptians of the belongings that are due to you. Now this is a heavy word to a man that has walked in fear for 40 years on the backside of the desert. A man that understood the wilderness. The man that shepherded a flock in the midst of that wilderness place. And Moses answered in all that he was, but behold, what if they'll not believe me, see, honest before the Lord? What if they won't listen, obey my voice? For they will say, the Lord has not appeared to you. And the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand now? You see, God knew that this man couldn't understand that. God knew that he was bound in the humanness of his intellect. All the inferiority and the shyness, the timidity of his nature. The hurt and the pain, the loss of his people. God knew the fear and the murder that had driven him. And so God, in his mercy, stepped down into that realm of understanding to Moses. And in that tangible realm where Moses could feel and sense, God spoke to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. That's mercy, y'all. That's God's mercy now. And he said, cast it on the ground. Now see, God was there where he could feel and sense. And God, from that position, commanded obedience. Cast it to the ground. And when he did, it became a serpent, the symbol of royal or divine power, worn on the crown of the Pharaoh, see. And Moses fled from it. In the shock, in the trauma to the consciousness, the man fled from the serpent. When I read that, I thought of myself, and I thought, oh, Lord, I'd have been running too. But speaking to the Lord, and God fulfilling a plan, bringing us to a place where we can walk it out before Him. See, the Church of Jesus Christ has been given a dominion authority, a rod, hallelujah, the name of Jesus, we're going to get to that in a minute, to rule and to reign in this hour, to set this creation man free. We've all been bound in the circumstances and the bruises of death. We are a mixture. The cup of lawlessness is full in our generation, man. We have taken on the likeness of the man of sin. But glory to God, there's been an experience in the earth, hallelujah, in the midst of you. You have been born anew, and that old man of sin nature has been ready to be swallowed up in victory. The knowledge of who you are in Christ Jesus, born anew, to now live forever because He lives, hallelujah. We have been given the authority to live also. And through the shed blood of the covenant of Jesus Christ, we have been covered. Hallelujah. The Lamb of God has taken your place and sprinkled His blood on that covenant in heaven. And God has sworn, and He'll not revoke it. Hallelujah. He has called the people to enter in, and our place in Him, in the world, beloved, it's free from the contamination and the corruption of sin. It's free from the fears and all the calamities that has bruised the bloodline, because the man of sin, the ancestors, have been disobedient and rebellious against the word of God, and they believed the lie, and they worshipped at the shrines of this world. But the Lord has called the people to truth, and it's told them to come out from that Babylon system and that horror system of death and live, hallelujah, because He lives, we live also. And God hadn't brought us this far to turn His back on us and to drop you down in the corruption of death. But He gave you a life force and the privilege of life that you can turn around and turn your eyes upon Jesus and see the plan in the ages of resurrection, the power of life that's out of death. Hallelujah. So that you can stop living to die and to begin to live to live. Let me tell you the rod, hallelujah, the authority has been vested unto you. Glory to God. I bless your name, my Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I bless your name, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, my Father, that your word is in this earth. Hallelujah. And so that rod became a serpent. And Moses, the natural man, jumped back in fear. But God required an action on His word. Beloved, God is requiring an action on His word. The rod, the word is in your mouth. And in the name of Jesus, you are delivered. Hallelujah. And the bruise in your personality that has shaped you in that man of sin is right to disappear, because the name of Jesus has been proclaimed in your being. You're not your own. You've been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus that you might begin to live. Hallelujah. And the preciousness of life has been given unto you. And the Lord your God wants you to know it. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Oh, Rakadabahaya. I love you, my Father. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to Moses, put forth your hand and take it by the tail. Now this man had been on the backside of the desert these 40 years, and he'd seen serpents come and go, and he knew that that power of that serpent had in it. And if he grabbed it up by the tail, unless God did a miracle, it had the power to swoop around and double itself up and bite him unto death. And so God required this man to act upon His word. See, we've got the word, and we have sat in the pew and listened intently for all these generations, but the word has been vestured unto you.
you and given unto you to set you free from the crisis of death and the chaos that's going on in the land. And God has given you an eye to see and an ear to hear and a tongue to confess. And He shaped you by the Spirit into a spiritual being. Hallelujah. And it's time to begin to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit like a man that pulls up his fake tent, his fake tents, his tent stakes, and he moves in with God. Hallelujah. It's time to move in to your privilege of who you are in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And command every demon in hell and everything that has harassed and oppressed and controlled and been in your life to be removed from it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. A rod. Hallelujah. He said, pick it up by the tail. And when he picked it up by the tail, the rod became, it became a rod in his hand. Oh, Jechidabathiah. And this you shall do, said the Lord, that the elders may believe that the Lord, the God of the fathers of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has indeed appeared to you. That rod stayed in Moses' hand. That rod, like a staff to lean on. That rod, like a comfort, a knowledge, you know, oh, God, talk to me. And this rod is working. See, that rod of understanding became a part of this man Moses, hallelujah, ministry. As he went forth, it was with him in Pharaoh's court. It was with him when he ministered to the elders of Levi. It was with him, hallelujah, when he parted the Red Sea. It was with him all in the wilderness, that rod of comfort, that staff that God had made ready. Hallelujah. A knowledge as a man's name was, so was his character, his nature. And it was the custom that the head of every house carved his name in his rod. And when a man's name was carved in his rod, that's what his rod stood for. That was the character and the nature of his being. And when he settled the matters of judgment for his household, for what his name stood for, that's what he judged by. And the judgments that he made were carried out because that was what he stood for. Now, we're beginning to see this rod, this nature, hallelujah, that was given unto them. Now, look with me in Numbers, please, the 17th chapter. The children of Israel have come. One thing I want to touch on before this. Remember when Moses threw his rod down and it became a that the seers had in Pharaoh's court was swallowed up by the rod of God. Now, look just like what was going on. Same kind of serpent. But the power of God foiled the divinations of man, the witchcrafts and the sorceries of man, and the real thing delivered. Hallelujah. Now, there's divinations going on in the land today that look almost like the real thing. Peoples are following signs and wonders. False prophets arising, telling people with itching ears what they want to hear. Stunning the growth of the kingdom of God because it's taking people out of the world. They're too busy trying to get a confirmation for their personal prophecy. God is not pleased with the lack of knowledge of His Word in His body. Oh, the only way this can happen is because the church doesn't know the Word of God. We heard about a lady that went around some time ago and blood was supposed to come out of the palms of her hands. And when she stood up in the congregation and the blood was oozing, she was supposed to be able to lay hands on people and the sick would be healed. And it was idolatry, witchcraft, a familiar spirit. I was in San Antonio, Texas in a meeting and the Lord gave it to me to share. And after the meeting, this lady came to me and she said, oh no. She said, you are wrong. She said, I was in this meeting and I looked at this lady's eyes and she called me up and I watched as she ministered. She said, this is truth. It wasn't a lie. And I said, she said, you don't know her. I said, honey, I don't have to know her. I don't have to see her. I know what the Word says. You can't improve upon the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has been shed, see. It has done what it's supposed to do. It's by His stripes that we're healed. Not blood coming out of some human's hand or stripes upon their back or a place of a crown of thorns on their head. The Bible tells me, the Word of God tells me that by the stripes of Jesus, I've been made healed. It's a part of the work of Calvary. And I believe the Word, and I choose to believe what's right. And when you know the Word, you're not going to be taken in by the lying wonders of this day. You're not going to be seduced and deceived and led aside into circumstances that is only going to bring you pain in the end.